This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Moles. Oh! An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher, on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for a Must Be a Tuesday. Patrick Harris with you, Joe Fisher to my left.
Let's go!
Jordan Schultz on the ones and twos.
Good to see you guys. Been a while.
Likewise.
Officially no longer the Hot Corner After Dark.
Thank God.
We have now changed to the Hot Corner at Dusk.
Dude, you know what I did last night? I was practicing my short game in chipping at Chehalem Glen at 7:30 at night.
You shouldn't. They're not a sponsor, Joe. Come on. Don't make me do your job.
No, but I got to show love to the home course. Come on. Great chipping area. One of the best.
I went to a local food establishment and then had some beers at a local beer establishment up in the Cove. And it was nice having dinner with my wife and some drinks, and we got in the car to go home about this time. And I could see. Because I got to wear glasses at night.
I think it was
like, if I got to drive at night, I got to wear glasses because I can't see anything.
Is it blurry?
Got to see the lines.
Yeah, it's a dark depth perception thing. Yeah. And I was able to go home no glasses last night.
Saturday night, I was in the car at 6:30, and it was starting to get dark, and it dawned on me. I'm like, this time tomorrow, it will not be like this, and it'll be light out.
There are some times
I love that.
There are some times
it made me smile.
Like on Sunday, I get done with work at 4 or 5 o'clock. You know, I'll hit the local North Portland spot that I love to go to and have some brews. And usually I got to look outside. And once it gets dark, I'm like, oh, I got to get home. The wife's going to be mad. It's nighttime. I can't be coming home after a few brewskis at the nighttime. And it was like, ooh, I got at least another hour and a half on this bad boy.
What it has done for me and the lady is it's tricked us into thinking that it's
summer.
Well, that it's earlier in the day.
Yo, you know, than a rooftop patio that I'd love to go to.
So, God, I can't wait. First rooftop patio that will of the be year. Fair. But no, I think it was Sunday night. It was like 9 o'clock or 9:30, and she's like, "You want to watch a movie?" And I was like, "Yeah, put it on, let's go."
Oh, yeah, I'll be passed out in 10 minutes. Well, it's 10 o'clock.
We ended up finishing it, but by the time it was over, it was like 11:20 at night. Almost 11:30.
Yeah,
we watched Anora. By the way,
was it good,
dude? That was a solid flick.
The only Oscar movie that...
A lot of up tops, a lot of boning in it, I will say.
Oh, okay.
The only Oscar movie we saw was The Conclave, which might show the difference between your age and my age.
I heard it was solid.
It was really good.
Ralph Fiennes?
Ray Fiennes. It's like
you.
His name is Rafe. It looks like Ralph, but it's Rafe.
Oh, I didn't know that about him.
Yeah, his name is Rafe. Yeah.
Because he's got a brother with a regular name, Joseph Fiennes, but yeah.
Who's garbage actor.
Not that great.
His older brother is, you know, Daniel Day, Gary Oldman kind of level of really good.
But
old Rafe, Ray Fiennes, so it's like the F's kind of like flow into each other, Ray Fiennes.
What is he? Is he something else?
He's English.
Yeah? Okay.
He's black. I thought he would've... He's black. That's what it is.
I had a feeling. Yeah, I think I saw that in there.
But we watched that. It was about finding a new pope
in
which was really intriguing because we're probably going to have to find a new pope, and there's all the, you know, the politics involved in it. It was a slow burn, but when the movie starts, the pope dies. This is not a spoiler alert, but that's the literally the beginning because the movie is about finding a new pope.
It's the one with Anthony Hopkins as the pope, right?
No, you're thinking of
thank you.
Two popes or
thank
something
you.
Like that.
I'm thinking a totally different
this
movie.
Has my Ray Fiennes, Stanley Tucci, John Lithgow.
I gotcha. Got it.
And at the very beginning, the Pope dies. Then it cuts to Ray Fiennes, who's standing over the Pope, and Ray Fiennes starts crying. And I look at it, and I was like, bro, we're 3 minutes into this movie, and you're already acting your ass off. All right, let's do it.
Just give him
Oscar, let's
baby.
Do it. Let's do it. And I think Conan made a joke at the Oscars. He said Ray Fiennes, and there was Ray Fiennes, you know, looking dapper as always, just a classy English actor. And he goes, Rave, if you don't win tonight, we're going to start calling you Ralph.
Love it.
You don't deserve the correct pronunciation.
And Ray Fiennes did not win, despite being the best actor on the board. You know, it's like a fantasy baseball draft. You know, you're like, I'm just going to take the best guy on the board. And it's like, well, I don't know. This Jackson Merrill kid could be pretty good.
Huh?
It's like, well, you're going to say no to Francisco Lindor. Got it. Okay, cool. Got it.
But that was a good one, Conclave?
Conclave was good. It was really, I mean, it's a slow burn. It's a dialogue fest.
Yeah.
But it's,
I figured so. I mean, it's not like a lot of action,
but it's
not a lot of shootouts and gunfights.
Well, there is some action because they're like stuck,
Jackie Chan come
they're,
through.
They're like stuck
popes.
In a room and they can't know anything about what's going on outside because it might affect their decisions on who they all vote for the Pope. And there was some action based on that. And the ending is wild. The ending is super wild.
I'm
the Pope. But it was really good. It was really good. I really enjoyed it.
The one Oscar movie that my wife and I decided to watch was the one without speaking, Flow, the one with the cat. Like,
That good?
It was actually, it was only like an hour and 20 minutes, and it was really good.
That's the animated one, right?
Yes.
It's European.
They
erected a statue. I think it's Swedish, Norwegian, something like that, Danish, something
I think you're
like that.
On the right.
And they erected a statue of the cat
as
the first Oscar that country's ever won.
It's pretty crazy.
I want to show it to my kids. Well, is it kid appropriate?
It is very kid appropriate. Okay. It's just a little sad at times.
Latvian.
You know, you'll have to explain like it'll
Latvian.
Be okay. And
ooh,
there's
I've got a good friend who's Latvian.
I think in the movie there are statues of the cat. So I think that's what they kind of in the callback to the movie. That's what they put in wherever country that it's from. So it was a really nice one. Flo.
Do you guys know the plot of Anora?
No.
She is dating a drug lord.
No. It's close, but she is a stripper, and she can speak
hot.
She can speak a little bit
she
of.
Is hot.
I mean, dude,
she is.
Literally
she's hot.
first right. first scene of the movie.
I mean,
is
I'm
just
more of a Demi Moore kind of guy, but she's hot.
Don't care.
Which, by the way, if you haven't seen The Substance,
I can't watch horror.
Dude, that movie, insane. Like, yeah. one of the wildest movies I've ever seen. But Honora, no, she is a stripper and she can speak a little bit of Russian. And so her boss is like, hey, we have a, you know, a Russian high roller here at the strip club. And I need you to talk to him, entertain him, you know, be his friend for the night. And he's like a 21-year-old, loud, Russian, boisterous,
obnoxious
cocky.
Idiot. Yeah.
And then he's
Bryce
got,
Harper.
Yeah. He's got a ton of
That's
money.
That's a clown question, bro.
He's got a ton of money, just throwing money wherever, doesn't care. And then he wants her to come over and spend more time with him. I'll pay you. I'll pay you to be my girlfriend. Yeah. And
pay him his money now.
She goes to his house.
KGB.
Big ass mansion Baller. In New York. Yeah. And then come to find out that, yeah, he hates his parents, but his parents are actually Russian oligarchs.
Shocking.
And he's like, I hate my parents. I don't want to go back to Russia. What if I just got married? And she's like, who are you going to marry? He's like, well, what about you? And so you can.
And she's like, let me get the statue real quick. And yeah, I'm in.
And you can imagine that a Russian oligarch's son marrying a stripper does not go over well.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole second act of that movie is just pure comedy. Like, it's these Russian goons trying to fix this whole situation for the Russian parents that hear about this back home. And it's just, dude, it absolutely hilarious.
But a good flick.
Yes, all good. Right. Very good. I very much enjoyed it. But that was one movie that I saw from the Best Picture list. And then The Substance, man. I mean, I was bummed my girl Demi did not win.
So was she.
Yeah, I'm sure. She deserved it, dude. You want to talk about acting your ass off. She did really good. And then the supporting actress in it, I forget what her name is. Damn it. But she looked good.
I know you judge people based on their looks, Joe, because you are shallow.
Don't we all? Don't we all? Gosh, I'm trying to find her name, but
Zoe Saldana, or is that someone else?
No.
No, she was in that.
She was
like,
in the other one. Yeah.
She was in that tranny musical.
Thank you. It was like that's not her.
I don't know
that I actually heard is a really bad movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Just got put on there because it was
topical.
Social justice. Yeah, topical. Yeah.
Which I'm down for the social justice. I'm down for the topical.
But it's got to be a good movie.
But I heard a bunch of Mexicans were really mad about this movie portraying Mexicans very poorly. Is what I heard.
Oh,
not my
no.
choice. What I heard.
I heard that, too, and Zoe Saldana responded like, well, you know, maybe they shouldn't be mad, essentially, because the story isn't really about Mexicans, per se. It's about the struggle of a young woman. No,
yeah, I have no
falling
idea.
On deaf ears, honey.
It was Margaret Qualley is the...
Margaret Qualley, yes.
Yeah, she's the other actress in The Substance, and...
she's the daughter of Andy McDowell, if you all did not know.
Oh,
that.
That's hot.
Margaret,
a low-key hot.
Well, yes. Margaret Qualley, she is... it's up and it's good, as they say.
Oakley Doakley. Well, we do have a baseball show for you tonight.
I watched Whiplash last night, too.
Oh, that movie is fantastic. Is that the first time you ever saw it?
Yeah, it's been on the... It's been on the Netflix list for a while, and I've seen a bunch of clips from that movie.
Oh, that is such a great movie.
J.K. Simmons
is so good in that.
He's an animal. I don't know if you ever watched Oz, the HBO show.
I did not watch Oz, but I'm familiar with J.K. Simmons' work.
Oh, dude, my God.
He's insane in that, too. He's a white supremacist in that show. But
sounds wonderful.
And plays the prison convict character to a T.
Yeah, and Whiplash, that was a great flick. Had a great time watching that.
Well, we do got a baseball show for you tonight. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll finish up our division previews as we'll get into the American League and the National League West. Oh, Schultzy, hold your temper. Hold your temper. Next week, we'll dive into our overall baseball theories coming into the 2025 season, including a deep dive into the Mariners. We will do that next week. So we'll touch on the American League, the National League West. Two very, very contentious divisions for very different reasons. I'm really excited to get into that when we get to the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, there's some other things to talk about. There's some new baseball renderings for y'all Portland, Oregon, should they get a baseball team. So we'll dive into that. But where we'll go first, that old elbow that I was worried about last year, but I was able to grab him in the 14th round and turned out to be okay when he came back. Oh, baby, that's done. What does that look like for his team? What does that look like for his contract? What does that look like for his future? There's a lot to get to. We'll get to that next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
718 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget about it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. The fan text line, 503-864-6326. That bad boy lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. Holler at us, say what's up. We got Fan Madness coming up.
Hell yeah, we do.
I will be up there.
Hell yeah, brother. Yeah.
I will be up there.
Gambling, sports, beer.
I will be up there.
It's lit. But why? Tell me why, damn it!
I will be up there on Thursday for most of the day and half of the day on Friday.
Heck yeah. Are you, so, what time
I'm there on my own accord.
What time on Friday are you going to be there?
Probably early.
Yeah, when's this party bus set up for?
Our party bus is leaving here at around 11.
Oh, I'm not doing party bus.
I know, I just want to see you. I just want I want to see your face.
Me and some friends, we're going to go up on Thursday. We're probably going to get there at 8 o'clock. We want a good seat.
Hell yeah.
Right at 9 when the games start.
Oh, you're going to post up on one of the, like, the chairs.
No, we're not paying for the chairs.
Or a booth.
We don't want the booth. We want the upper high tops because you can see the TVs better and it's right by the book.
Okay. Makes sense.
So I'll be there on Thursday for almost all the action, a little bit on Friday because I got to work at 3.
I'll be hosting on Thursday, actually, with Danny Meringue.
So oh, nice.
It'll be fun.
Nice. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
It'll be the most calm version of Danny and Dusty you've ever heard. Because neither of you guys get worked
up
takes, about
anything. No hot takes. No riled up. No nothing.
I'm pretty sure.
Finally, that wild card Hera will be gone.
You're listening to Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan. Yeah,
pretty you sure know, Danny and I are on opposite sides of the Blazer spectrum.
Last night I baked a cake. And then we're going to give you some soft tunes of Seattle Mariners after that. And this is 1080 The Fan.
And that cake was as soft right here as on Jose Portland. Altuve in left field.
Is that what they do in like on those stages?
They cover it. They cover it. Listening to Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on the Hot Corner.
Hi, baby. Welcome to Loveline.
You just listened to the sweet sounds of Lionel Richie. Sounds real good, baby.
Sexual
you know,
healing.
I was out at the club last night, and I told this girl the same thing Lionel Richie's about to say to you. All night long. Hit it.
All night long.
Can I get you a fifth sandwich?
I think you should draw a nice warm bath, pour a little cavassier, and then I would stick it in. So, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, like I said, we'll dive into American League. We'll dive into the American League, National League West, give you a quick preview of those. And there's some Portland renderings, so we'll get to that. But I want to start here. You know what's funny? This is like a personal thing for me on so many levels. By the way, I texted Voldemort the other day because I'm in a fantasy league with him.
Ray Fiennes?
He gives his love. Ray Fiennes says hello. Had a decent draft. He grabbed one of my guys after the draft was over in the waiver wire that I was not very happy. I almost texted him. But it sounds like I am going to get his $310 to him from Jay Cezus.
Jeke Cezus.
Jeke Cezus. So that is put to bed. I will get that that money to our good friend Giancarlo Lynch. But what's really funny is this whole situation. So last year, I'm in a fantasy draft, and I'm wondering, we get news that Gerrit Cole's elbow's a little funky. Remember this last spring training?
There's a stank coming from his
elbow.
There's
a stank coming from that elbow, and everybody in my league is all hesitant on drafting Gerrit Cole, understandably, because it sounds like he's going to get Tommy John.
Please tell me you drafted him.
So I drafted him in the 14th round.
Steal, baby.
And I just sat on him. And he came back in like late June or something, if my memory is.
Oh, this was last year.
Last year.
Oh, okay.
So I sat and waited and waited and got him in the 14th round. And he was on the DL for a while, but he came back, I want to say like late June, something like that. And he was really good for me down the stretch. Obviously, the Yankees went to the World Series. He pitched well in the playoffs. He pitched well in the World Series, minus the pointing at Anthony Rizzo meme. That is one of the greatest baseball situations to ever happen of like, hey, that's your fault. And it's like, oh, it might be your fault.
Hey, it might be your fault.
Sorry, baby.
So that's how last year went. So coming into this year, we're starting to choose our keepers.
Oh boy.
And it's based on rounds you get them.
Boy.
So I've decided I'm taking Yordan Alvarez in the second. Traded for Riley Green, so I get him in the 13th. Then I'm starting to wonder, what do I do with my other? I'm like, Gerrit Cole in the 14th. I mean, looking at pre-draft rankings, I mean, he's a top 10 pitcher. Maybe I stick with him. Chose not to.
Wow.
Ended up going with Spencer Schwellenbach, who I picked up off the waiver wire.
Wow.
So he's my 24th round pick.
Wow.
And then we're coming in the draft this coming weekend. And I'm like, man, I hope that Gerrit Cole thing, because I just did another draft for my other league, the one with Giancarlo Lynch in it. And Cole went in like the 7th. And I was like, man, that's really good value. I hope I don't regret this. And boom goes the dynamite.
Was it Mike that got him?
No. It's old Chef. If you remember Chef? Chef?
I've
Lake Oswego Chef?
If he was at your wedding? Maybe.
No, he wasn't. No.
Okay.
No.
I've heard the name many, many
but
times.
But way back in the day when we first started this stupid little show, Chef ended up grabbing, but he got him in like the 9th. He dropped him today.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know.
Yep. So that's
unless
the big
he wants
news.
Him on the bench for some morale, you know, to boost his guys up, give him some motivational talks.
So that's the big news of spring training right now is Gerrit Cole will undergo Tommy John surgery, and that puts him out for the year, probably come back halfway through next year. And guys, I'm curious, where do you want to start? Do you want to start with how this affects the Yankees or how this affects Gerrit Cole?
I would like to start with rescinding my AL East pick from a couple weeks ago.
And that was the next question. So
do
let's
I feel
start
like
with the Yankees.
That is something I can do.
So let's start with the Yankees because this is a major blow to them, in my opinion. Anybody that thinks this is not is out of their mind. We thought this Yankee rotation looked really good. The addition of Max Fried. You know, we're looking at Marcus Stroman as the guy on the way out, but if he has an innings limit that he hits, he'll get an extra like $20 million or something like that. By the way, congratulations, Marcus Semien. You gonna hit that. This is a big blow for the Yankees, I think. We talked about them losing Soto and how much of a gap that is. But they repurposed that money into Cody Bellinger and Max Fried. And I think we all agreed the Yankees are better on paper this year than they were last year, which is wild to think they lost Juan Soto and are somehow better. This, I think, crumbles that whole thing.
I mean, you have literally lost your two best players on your roster from last year.
Yeah.
One, obviously, via free agency and Juan Soto, and now your best pitcher, your ace pitcher. It's a huge blow because, I mean, while you are right, they did acquire some arms, and you're hoping to get a full season out of Clark Schmidt as well this mm-hmm. year. So you're hoping you can weather that storm a little bit. But this isn't just losing a starting pitcher. You are literally losing the best starting pitcher in the American League.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a huge difference. A guy that is...
When healthy, nobody might be better than Gerrit Cole. Maybe in the AL or NL.
Seriously. And it's just, like, that was one of those where you lose a hitter like Juan Soto. You saw they were able to essentially retool the lineup. And I feel like your lineup is 1-9. And you can play baseball a certain way on when you're hitting and on the base paths to make up for a lack of power, lack of talent. Starting pitching, man, like, it's a bit different. Yes, you can have some good, if you have good bullpen management, you have good lineup management, you're making sure you're playing guys.
I mean, they do have one of the best managers in baseball, so that helps.
Just got extended.
I can tell the sarcasm.
You've wanted him fired for so long. He's gonna be there for like 5-6 more seasons, bro.
But this is huge. This is like almost like losing a quarterback. Like, and now you got to go, like, well, hopefully we have good backups in place. Like, hopefully we got a good number two.
Yeah, this isn't I'm on the injured reserve so I can come back in week 14.
Yeah.
This is, you're done.
No, and this is going to, I don't think they really have anybody in their organization to fix this, I think, because.
No, I mean, nobody does to lose a guy like Gerrit Cole.
Well, and not only Gerrit Cole, but Luis Gil, who's going to be down for 3 months. We're not even talking about the fact that this is the second starting pitcher that the Yankees are missing out on. And if it were just starting pitchers, because we're kind of first talking about the effect on the Yankees, I think DJ LeMahieu is going to be out, for a few weeks because of a muscle strain.
That guy still plays.
I know. But you're counting on these guys like Giancarlo Stanton, he's going to be missing time.
I was going to say, yeah, he's injured too.
So all these guys that are missing, like, in your lineup on top of two starting pitchers, it literally forces you now, you're going to have to go pay a prospect or two for a Sandy Alcantara or somebody from, like, the bottom of the Cardinals rotation or whoever wants to be a seller. Because if you're the Yankees, you literally have nothing in-house to replace these guys.
Before we get into what the Yankees do going forward and how this shapes the division, we'll do that on the other side. Could this be the death knell of Gerrit Cole?
I mean, it's a Tommy John surgery and you're what, 33?
Yeah.
I'm just guessing age. I have no idea.
I think he's right around that.
I mean, it's brutal, dude. It's brutal to have it. Yeah, he's 34. I don't have a birthday. So
he's 34. So he'll be out all year. So he'll be 35, making 30+ mil a year.
He's already
now most guys, you know, a lot of talk in spring training that DeGrom looks fantastic. And he just had a Tommy John and he's older. So, like, the stats suggest you do come back stronger from the Tommy John.
He'll be 35 when he comes back.
Yeah, but you are out for a full year.
And the chance
at 35 is this? Do we just look at Gerrit Cole and say, "Man, that guy was really good for a while," and adios?
I'm just trying to think of older, like, pitchers around this age that have gone through Tommy John and returned to form, and maybe someone on the text line can help us out.
Verlander.
Yeah, I was gonna say him.
When did he get his
38 and then won a Cy Young?
Is that really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But he's also like,
completely forgot about that.
But he's also like the LeBron, like, or Tom Brady. He almost like doesn't
and
count.
Also,
like, Verlander's the guy that doesn't age. I think the big test is gonna be Jacob DeGrom.
And there's got to be some healing properties in Kate Upton's up tops, you know.
I mean, I'm healed by Kate Upton's up tops, yeah, and she's exactly. Not even mine.
I can throw 90 now.
I think DeGrom this year will be a great litmus test. Because guys like Bieber and Strider and even Strasburg when he had his, younger guys, Glasnow, younger guys, it's harder to tell because they have more years in the tank. Cole's not like done at 34. He's still pitching at a high level, if not the best pitcher in baseball. But does this, it's like when Klay Thompson blows his Achilles, you know, and you're kind of like, ooh, Kobe Bryant blows his Achilles. You're like, oh, that might be it. Is this it because of Cole's age?
Well, now that you told me about that Justin Verlander thing, I was like, well, actually.
Yeah, but he's a freak, dude. He's a bona fide first ballot Hall of Famer.
Garrett Cole is a freak as well. I mean.
But is Garrett Cole a bona fide Hall of Fame first ballot? Not right now.
I hesitated, so that means no.
Yeah, there you go. You know my rules.
Well, he's got two Cy Youngs, though.
Yeah.
That's a Hall of Fame.
So does Tim Lincecum. So does Barry Zito.
Well, exactly. And a lot of those guys, they just kind of flamed out because at some point their arms don't cooperate anymore.
Big time Timmy Jim?
Yeah, big time Timmy Jim.
Garrett Cole has what?
The freaky franchise?
2,000 innings pitched in his career. And I think right around that time, like what, 1,900, 2,000 innings, you start to look at the miles on a player and his arm. And if he hasn't had surgery, it's kind of just playing the waiting game if he's going to or not.
So. And the real question is, what does this do to the Yankees? And what does this do to the rest of the division?
Well,
is this still theirs, or does this open it up?
Honestly,
that's what we'll get to next.
I wanted to talk about that in the next segment. Just I'm glad you said that. Honestly, I'll share my thoughts next.
Yeah, hey. That's what we got. There we go. So, are the Yankees still the favorite to win the American League East, or does this open the door for other teams? We'll get to that next. But first, we'll toss it to Schultzy with sports.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll dive into those new renderings for Portland and check in on the chances of us getting a baseball team. But we'll stay right here with the Yankees and Garrett Cole. And how much of a shift does this change the American League East? Boston's clearly spending some money. Their guys are coming up. God knows what the hell's going on in Toronto. Tampa will probably be doing Tampa things. And Joe's O's, about to be my O's, are a quiet threat without true starting pitching. Some scary news about Grayson Rodriguez, but we won't get into that.
Yeah.
But how does this Garrett Cole injury affect the rest of the American League East? And I will open it up to both of you. On do you change your picks? Did we all? No, you two took the Yanks. I took the O's.
I think we all took someone differently. I will go back on the records. I have the pictures.
I'm fairly confident that I took the O's. Out.
No, I can't.
I know you took the Orioles. Yeah, Jordan and I both took the Yankees. That's right.
Damn it.
So if there's actually, a tie, if there's a tiebreaker,
hold on. It was Will that was sitting in for Jordan.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
Thank you.
Wow, what a bailout.
And Will can barely spell baseball, so of course he took the Yankees. If there is a tiebreaker scenario in this situation, I just want the world to know that I'm sticking with the Orioles.
I pick the Red Sox.
And I break. Oh, he picks the Red Sox.
I'm going Red Sox.
But does, Joe, does, I'll ask you then, since you took the Yankees to win this division, does this affect your opinion on who wins the division?
The closer and closer we get to opening day, the more I start to move in the direction of the Boston Red Sox winning this division. And it's annoying, and I don't like it.
Very annoying. I mean, resident boss, Cooley, resident Red Sox
he's
fan.
Stoked.
He's stoked.
But you brought it up about the Orioles. The starting pitching is in question. And especially now with Grayson Rodriguez having some elbow discomfort and some tricep back of the elbow pain, which just fantastic. Gotta love that. And then obviously with the news of Garrett Cole and their rotation and their starting lineup, I mean, one through about six for the Red Sox, it's pretty tasty.
Pretty tasty.
And so, again, this is like I've had these moments in sports before where it's like, oh no, dude, I'm loving the Ducks to beat Utah in the Pac-12 championship. And then as the days get closer and closer, I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't feel really good about this anymore.
Yeah, I love the Ducks to beat Ohio State for a second time. And then it was like leading up to the game, I was like, thank God I don't do this for a living.
This happens quite a bit. And then sure enough, as that feeling starts to shift towards uneasiness and less confidence, the bad thing happens. And so now I'm just like, again, we get closer opening day, and I'm like, God, I think the Red Sox might actually win this. And then sure enough, that's what's going to happen this year. They get some new arms. They get Garrett Crochet. They get Walker Buehler. They're going to have amazing seasons.
Alex Bregman is going to rake at Fenway. He is.
Rafael Devers, that whole controversy is gone. So he's going to go back to hitting 40 bombs and 110 RBIs, it seems like. And then we get Tyler O'Neill. He's going to suck for the Orioles. He's going to hit like 15 home runs and 40 RBIs.
I really wish the Mariners would have signed him, actually. I'm a huge Tyler O'Neill guy. I think he'll be fine.
I hope you're a huge Tyler O'Neill guy this year, too, which means that he's going to have a good year. But I doubt it now at this point.
So you are going to shift to the Red Sox. You are more than welcome to. With the new information, new situations, you are allowed to change your opinion.
I think I'm going to make the switch.
You're
and I hope
Sox.
It's also sort of this reverse jinx, reverse psychology thing where me picking the Red Sox actually propels the Orioles to win the AL East. But I don't know. I just got this. I got a weird feeling. The starting pitching for the Orioles, there's a lot to be desired there. And well, it's not nearly as good as what the Red Sox are putting out there to start the year.
Well, I think the one thing before we, you know, put the Yankees for dead is, you know, Schultz kind of mentioned this earlier. They have the ability to go get guys. You know, are they now the front runners for Sandy Alcantara?
Yeah, cry me a river. Oh, no, we don't have Garrett Cole as our opening day starter. Max Fried, do you mind?
Step up, please. There was a quote from Max Fried. He was like, you know, I relish the chance to step up for our injured staff. And it's like, bro, you're everywhere else.
I'm sure you are, because you would be doing this for probably 28 other teams.
But before you really hammer down the Red Sox to win this division, I mean, the Yankees, we have to think they're going to go get somebody. I don't think the Cardinals are going to be very good. Would they reunite with Sonny Gray?
Well, Cashman came out and he's like, well, yeah, we need starting pitching help now, but there just isn't really a lot available.
There's not. You got to kind of wait and see how.
And you kind of use your trade bait and leverage this offseason and going after Devin Williams.
Say Arizona's not very good. I bet you can get Jordan Montgomery for cheap.
You could probably get him right now for cheap,
I was
honestly.
Say,
after the comments that their owner made about him last year.
You know, but like, what if Texas fades? Can you go get Jacob DeGrom?
They just won a World Series like in the last
and their
three
offense
seasons,
is going to be, I feel, going to take a step up.
A giant step up.
Yeah, I think they're going to be better than they were last year.
I feel like they invested a lot of that money in those guys to keep them around. Like 2 years before their World Series, they had 100 lost teams. So they want that sustainable success.
Since we have the opportunity to bail on the Yankees or just bail on any of our division winners for this, I still feel good about the Orioles because I think the Orioles are now in the same position as the Yankees. Our offense, we feel really good about it. Our bullpen, we feel really good about it. We need a starter. Who goes and gets one first? The Red Sox, I think, stand pat and say, we feel good. We got guys coming up. This might not be our year, but we'll make the playoffs. Next year is our year for the Red Sox, assuming Bregman comes back.
Like you mentioned, I think Bregman changes the entire look for the Red Sox. For me, it was the Yankees until he signed with them, and then you plug him in at 3 or 4, plus Devers, plus a great Tristan Casas again. Are you kidding me? I think Vaughn Grissom is their young second baseman, so if he pops off, they're pretty much unbeatable in that division.
Well, the good news is I refuse to believe that the Red Sox are any good. Sorry, Cooley.
You've
sorry,
been
boss.
Saying that for like the last 3-4 seasons, though.
And was I wrong?
One of the years, yes, you were.
I was.
I mean, their worst hitter is just an overpaid Masataka Yoshida, and he still hits like 260 for you. So,
I do like Yoshida.
Yeah, come on. Like, what? They don't have a bad situation going on in Boston.
Joe, on the spot, who you got winning the East?
I'm going Red Sox.
Jordan, you're staying Red Sox?
I'm doubling down. Red Sox.
I'm doubling down on Joe's O's.
Well, the Red Sox had good starting.
I got Kurt's O's. Screw Joe's O's. I got Kurt's O's.
The Red Sox did have one of the best pitching teams last year.
Yeah, they were really good.
In general. And, God, I'm trying to remember who their pitching coach is. I'm going to have to look it up in the break. But that they just went and got better pitchers also. So it's like you already were making lemonade out of lemons, and now you're adding some really good lemons to this.
Oranges. Bar.
The best lemons to this lemonade.
The best lemons I've ever seen. Nobody's ever seen.
Andrew Bailey, Christmas. Former starter. In baseball?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've heard the name.
I knew he was a starter 10 years ago or something, but yes, Andrew Bailey is their pitching coach.
All right, when we come back, do AI photos of potential things get your pants tight?
Well, I mean...
Which things?
These are not... Yeah, I guess. Good statement there.
You have to decide.
These aren't AI photos. These are renderings, bro.
I know. I'm just making fun. We come back. Are we closer? Are we closer? Are we closer? 10A the Fan. All right, coming up in the second hour, we'll dive in. We'll finish our previews of divisions with the American League and the National League West, which I have said are very contentious divisions for very, very different reasons.
Sorry, I'll be with you in a second.
You're
I'm chowing down on a buffalo wing that Patrick gave me.
You're fine.
It's delicious.
Wings are absolutely fantastic. Wings are some of the greatest thing you could ever find in your entire life. So... Here we are again. I had a conversation with my buddy today who's a diehard Rays fan. He's from Tampa. There are rumors that Major League Baseball is going to force the owners of the Tampa Bay Rays out because he's kind of rescinding on some budget deals and doesn't have the capital to cover the overhead on building a new stadium before tax dollars kick in. So they might force him out. But baseball will want an owner to come in and keep Tampa in Tampa. That way, it forges the path for expansion. Meaning one out east, probably Nashville or Carolina. And one out west, Salt Lake City and Portland, Oregon. Your sports leader, right here, 10 in the Fan. Renderings came out for the potential spot down on the southwest waterfront, right by our old place, right there on the poop-filled Willamette.
Yeah, can we...
go back?
Yeah,
can we go back
seriously.
There?
We got a little hasty with this move to northwest Portland.
Can we get parking spots, too, down there?
When the T2 rumors were happening, we're like, yeah, all right,
I used to live in the apartment right next to where the stadium would go, so I'll just go back there.
Yeah.
I had a parking spot and everything.
I will say this. Boy, the renderings are sexy.
They are.
Damn
right.
I'm trying to think of, obviously, there's San Francisco and then Pittsburgh is right on the river. Like, the waterfront parks are few and far between in the MLB. And this one's sexy. Very,
very sexy.
Like, with the little walkways.
Like, Sydney Sweeney level sexy.
Ana de Armas sexy.
Kate Upton?
Ava Mendez?
The chick from Enora?
The text line does not agree on that.
Oh, really?
I mean, I thought when she was completely naked in Nora, I thought she wasn't too bad. but I digress.
You know that naked chick in this movie I watched? Hey, pretty hot.
Up tops. You're all right with me. Yeah, this park, this rendering, it's the best one, obviously, yet. I mean, tucked in between the bridges. And just so much parking, dude.
So much parking.
Just too many parking
lots.
But
the reality is, though, like, let's get into this realistically. Obviously, there's no parking down there. No, absolutely zero.
Not at all.
However, Tillicum Crossing?
Yes.
I would literally park on the other side of the river.
Well, and if you've been listening...
either walk across the bridge or get on the max.
Well,
I'll take Dirt's water ferry that he's building, so we can chug a couple beers.
Yeah, the Diamond Pontoon service. Yeah,
yeah, I'm down for it. Yeah, the parking situation is gonna be an absolute mess. I threw out the idea to someone today. I was like, what if they put extra parking up at a OHSU on the hill and just tram everybody down there? I was like,
imagine sitting in the tram? Like, there's six of us sitting in the tram just smashing liquor and beers.
It would also take like 100 trips a day, which, hey, OHSU, they'll make some money off of that.
But I'll tell you what. I would do the same thing that I do for Blazer games when I lived in North Portland. And now that I live in Vancouver, I would literally just drive to North Portland, get on the orange line right there, and take the max down.
The nice thing about Portland, sorry, Buffalo Wing getting to me. great public transportation system.
For that area, yes.
And yeah, down there, yeah.
T2 would have been a nightmare.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, the Tillicum Bridge, I mean, what is that? That goes all right by OHC. Is it the red line?
No, it's the orange line.
Is that it's the orange line?
Yeah, it's the
because
orange line.
The orange line crosses orange line goes to the Milwaukee. Tillicum to go down to Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
It's the all green right line and the orange line in that part of the city, yeah.
I don't know the lines.
So basically,
well,
you could get it there anywhere. You just got to go downtown and then hop off the red or the blue line.
But basically
to
make a
line
transfer at the Moda Center.
Or at Pioneer Square.
What right, I yeah do like about this, though, is it kind of connects the South Waterfront to the Hawthorne Park Bridge area a little yep bit closer. To it almost connects
OMSI
downtown.
Is basically catty corner if you count the river as a street.
I mean, this area is being used for like literally nothing. I think on the other side of the Ross
Island, people use it for a lot.
Oh yeah, they got their dinghy out there. The Ross Island,
that's not nice. Dirt is employed and has a home.
I can't wait for the ferry system, so you it's know that's gonna happen.
Dirt's ferry system, I'm gonna sign up for a season ticket.
Jet skiing people across, I mean, that I feel like that versus a pontoon, like pontoons go like 15 miles per hour or something. They're very yeah slow.
If but I this isn't the Mississippi. This isn't the Grand Canyon. You're going to get across the Willamette pretty quickly.
But, dude, this also made me start thinking, like, if we have a team in a stadium right there on the river, I was like, we should be the Portland Sturgeons. Because, you know, we got some big-ass sturgeons floating right around that part of the river.
Yeah, they're floating belly up in the Willamette.
No, they're thriving. They are I'm thriving sure on their bottom feeders, aren't they?
I don't know,
sturgeons?
Man.
Sturgeons?
I figured I don't swim in it, so I pity the fish that lives in it.
Well, I think the sturgeon are thriving.
All right.
What's the big-ass sturgeon that was up near the falls that we had on display?
Oh, that's right. I
Gus
sorry, I can't remember.
Like
I don't keep up with my fishing news on the Willamette.
Daryl.
Yeah, Daryl the fish.
There was a big old sturgeon that we had in a glass case. He was alive and he was swimming around. But anyways, I digress again. The renderings are awesome.
How bad is the traffic on the Ross Island Bridge?
Absolute mess. All around
that terrible.
Somebody said to me, people are going to get in car accidents because they're going to be trying to watch the game as they're crossing the bridge. I was like, stop.
No, it's actually, it's pretty narrow on those lanes.
No, I know,
so
I know.
It's not going like, to be pretty.
People are going to be driving off the bridge trying to see in the stadium.
There are freeways that go by stadiums in many places, and people aren't trying to look in and driving off the bridge.
We got some bad drivers here, though, in Oregon. Bad drivers.
Herman the Sturgeon, by the way.
Herman the Sturgeon.
Daryl's better.
I do like Daryl.
I like Daryl as well.
But, you know, what's the old Sopranos line? Who's the guy that's in Bruce Springsteen's band? Steve Van Zandt?
Yeah.
He's got the line in the Sopranos, like, just when I thought I was out, you pull me back in.
That's actually Al Pacino from
Well,
Godfather
he's quoting...
3.
Yeah, but Steve Van Zandt says it funny. I don't know.
Also, one of the best musician cameos in a TV show of all time.
I didn't know that's what he did.
Oh, yeah, Stevie? Oh, yeah, yeah.
I watched The Sopranos.
He
and
wears
then,
like a do-rag. Oh, yeah. He's,
yeah,
he's
and someone was like, dude, that guy
Band
is in, yeah, Bruce
my
Springsteen.
My mom.
And I was like, what?
My mom watched that show. I was like, that guy's in the E Street Band. She was like, Bruce Springsteen? No, he's not. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I was shocked by that, but they have definitely pulled me back in. Damn you, Portland Diamond Project!
So we'll see how that pans out.
You keep teasing and tickling me.
We'll see how that pans out. These Sydney Sweeney renderings are pretty hot, so we'll see how them up tops
good
go.
Good up tops.
When we come back, we'll finish out our division preview. We'll start with the National League West, and then we'll get to the American League West. Wild stuff, loaded second hour. 10A the Fan.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay. That sounds good.
I'm gonna read it.
Dear Chase, there's stickers. Yeah. My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
and 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome to the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, you can download that at the Fan Podcast at 1080thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, including places that rhyme with Gonzaga is the West Coast Conference champion, tournament champion again, Defy. Sorry, GU kid over here. I'm happy. I like this GU team. They're scrappy. They're young.
You can't,
I'm into it.
You can't do that.
Why not?
Because you're a Washington State fan who is in the same conference.
Joe, I believe this is called the Hot Corner with Harris and Fisher. I can do whatever I want.
Okay.
My phone also just buzzed me and said a team you follow, Gonzaga.
And you know what? No criticizing you for the rest of this show because you gave me a second Buffalo wing. I appreciate
you.
That.
Because I love you.
Are you a drum or flat guy?
Oh, I'm a flat guy.
Yeah. Pat, Jordan, drum or flat?
I love the drums. Give me that little stick to eat off of, baby.
Yeah, I would have to say.
Because then you can dip it easier, too.
That's true.
Oh, I just take the thing and pour it.
I think I'm going to have to go flats.
I love flats.
Yeah.
Random funny story about Buffalo Wings. I used to work here in Portland.
It better be funny and random.
Well, it is, bro. And it has to do with wings. He was touring with Jay Leno in the 80s he was the host of The Tonight Show. This
Paul
comedian
McCartney?
That I worked with.
Wings?
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, no. Paul McCartney? That would have been wacky.
Steve Van Zandt?
But he remember walking into like an office that Jay was eating before the show and just...
Oh, these wings are delicious.
He basically
was
just...
Was it sauce?
Well, he would tank them and he would just kind of put them all in his mouth hole and then he'd suck them right off the bone and then he would just... The bone would be left and that was it. And he just... Badass just kept eating them. No, it was just a funny story.
Sauce on my chin.
Hearing Jay Leno putting down wings like basically crackers.
All right. We'll,
get away.
We will finish up our division preview. Next week, we'll get into kind of overall the league. We'll take some MVP votes, some Cy Young votes, playoffs, World Series, champions, and plus we'll dive into some Mariners. But we'll finish up our division preview. So that's what I want to preface. Next, we'll do the American League West in about 5-10 minutes or so. This isn't a Mariners segment. This is just talking about the division. We'll get into the Mariners next week. But we'll start with the National League West. And what I find fascinating about both these divisions in the West is I find them contentious, debatable, wide open, question mark, but for very different reasons. Here we sit with the new evil empire, and that is the Los Angeles Dodgers. I think we can all say real quickly that the Rockies... easily bottom three of the of baseball.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious because Brenton Doyle looks pretty good and Tovar is like a future shortstop for them. Stop me if you've heard that one. but yeah, the Rockies are gonna be bad. So we can cut the Rockies out. That leaves you with the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Padres. And I think, you know, I don't know if we need to really go team by team. Everybody's kind of made additions. Everybody's made subtractions. You know, the Diamondbacks get Corbin Burns. That's a big one. They kind of bolstered their offense a little bit. The Padres seem to be kind of standing pat, but they got a young kid in Jackson Merrill who could be the future of that franchise. Their starting pitching still looks really good. You've got the Dodgers, who are clearly the A-class of all of baseball. And the Giants are kind of there doing giant things, you know. I think there's some interesting things with the Giants. Jung-Hoo Lee in a healthy season. I'm curious to see what he does.
They have a lot of guys where it's like, he's a good little baseball player.
Yeah, Logan Webb could compete for a Cy Young. That guy's an innings eater. I love him. They got Verlander on that staff, you know, and Bob Melvin is still, I don't care what anybody says, still is one of the top five managers in baseball.
The problem is that they just have a lot of good little baseball player.
Yeah.
And there's no one on this team that's just like, dude, he's really, really good.
And the
Watch
other,
out for him.
And the other problem is the Dodgers. The Dodgers have $2 billion worth of talent on their team. And you sit there and you look at that lineup. They brought back Teoscar Hernandez. They re-signed, they extended Tommy Edman. It's that offense is basically the same team you saw last year. It's the pitching staff that's upgraded. Shohei is going to eventually throw at some point. Roki Sasaki is a new member of the team. Blake Snell is a two-time Cy Young winner on that squad. I guess the real question when you come to the National League West, obviously the Dodgers, you know, we're all picking the Dodgers to win this division, right?
Gonna have to.
Oh, Patrick, do I have a surprise for you?
What?
It's not the Dodgers winning this division. Yeah, it's the Dodgers.
Okay, thank you. So we're all taking the Dodgers, but I guess the real question is the rest of the division, how does this play out? Because I think the Padres, the Diamondbacks, and the Giants are all really good teams. You put those three teams in the Central, and I think they compete for the division. I think the East might be a stretch. The East is pretty loaded. Maybe the question is, are there any teams in the National League West that can sneak into the playoffs?
Oh, yeah, I think the Padres can.
Yeah,
I think the Padres would be able to. I mean, they have good hitting for sure. I mean, Jackson Merrill, Tatis, Machado, Bogarts.
They got names, that's for sure.
Well, and those are good players.
Well, I'm not saying they're not, but they got names. They
Luis
got guys.
Arias,
Cronenworth.
As far as pitching, I mean, Cease, Michael King, Darvish. See if he still has anything left.
Suarez in the bullpen's really great.
Yeah, I mean, like I could totally. Yeah, I would say before we do this next week, I would probably have them as one of the wild card teams at this
See,
point.
And I'm the opposite. I differ from you. I really like Arizona. I really like Arizona.
Really?
I expect Corbin Carroll to have a better season than he did last year, not the slow start. The addition of Josh Naylor, look, as a guy who knows Josh Naylor, he's great to have on your team. He will drive you crazy. He's going to drive them crazy. But he is a potential 30 home run guy. But he is also a 200 strikeout guy. This team, for me, I love this starting pitching. Corbin Burns, Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, Eduardo Rodriguez, and the kid Brandon Pfaadt, Hillsborough Hop Brandon Pfaadt. I love this starting pitching. And that's kind of what intrigues me about Arizona is just to see, because the only way you're going to beat the Dodgers, and I don't think they're going to beat them for the division, but in a 3-game series, if they're a wild card team that gets through and then goes into the division series and has to play the Dodgers, I like their starters a lot. I like their starters a ton. And I think they're managed well. I think they're owned well. I think they're going to make moves at the deadline when they need to. We saw them do it last year. I'm interested in this Arizona team.
I was just going to say a little fun fact, and now granted he was just optioned to AAA, but Tim Tawa is on this team, former West Lynn athlete, literally one of the best high school quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life in person before.
So he did the opposite of Kyler Murray. He chose baseball.
Yes, he did. But because I saw his name on the roster, I was like, wait, that Tim Tawa? Yeah, that's interesting. But he got an option to AAA literally a day ago.
Jordan Montgomery's also on this team.
He shouldn't be. But, I mean,
but he could be.
Could have a bounce back year.
He had a late spring training, basically skipped all his spring training last year, was up and down. You add him, if it goes Burns, Gallen, if Montgomery could be the third and Merrill Kelly is your fourth, like that's a pretty good starting rotation.
Right now, the starting rotation looks like it would be Burns, Gallen, Merrill Kelly, Eduardo Rodriguez, and Brandon Pfaadt.
Yeah, I like the Padres better. I think they're deeper, rotation wise and hitting wise.
I was going to say I like their offense. You know, you have your point about their starting pitching, it is sexy, and you made me have to be reminded that Corbin Burns is no longer an Oriole. So
sorry,
I'm kind of upset for you. But again, no criticizing you for the rest of the hour because you gave me that second wing. So.
Fair enough.
But yes, I like their starting pitching. It's just the offense. You also lost Christian Walker.
The Christian Walker move is really tough, especially because once he signed in Houston, everybody was like, brilliant move.
And you do
going to be great.
You need Eugenio Suarez to hit again, which I don't think he won't. Should be fine, but like he's
not going to hit for average.
No, but
sure.
You need him to hit 30 home runs to win some games.
I do like saying his name.
And then again, the Giants. They're going to be scrappy.
You know, it's funny. I'm gearing
But they just don't have nearly as much talent up and down the roster as those two teams.
I agree. I'm gearing up for some fantasy drafts. I just had one. I'm about to have another one. A lot of people really love a great bounce back year for Jordan's favorite, Robbie Ray. and then if Robbie Ray does bounce back, Logan Webb, if it's Verlander, like Tom Brady Verlander, and not like old man Verlander, and Robbie Ray, if he does come back, and Jordan Hicks, that's a solid rotation too. I think the offense is what's going to be a really struggle. They did get Willy Adames, the largest free agent contract in the history of the Giants. A healthy Jungle Lee. Yeah.
That's so
Isn't
weird.
That wild?
Yeah, that's weird largest to say. Like, you would think that it would there would have been someone bigger.
Well, but they all say no. Carlos Correa, Aaron Judge.
That's true. They have been doing that in the last couple of years.
Didn't they give Barry Zito a ton of money before he tanked? I'm surprised by that.
Matt Chapman. Can Matt Chapman repeat what he did last year? Matt Chapman turned out to be a really good player for them last year.
No.
And I think they have the best manager in the division.
See, I like Mike Schilt.
Stop.
I do.
Don't try and talk me into the Giants, because I did. I was on the Giants last year, and they let me down.
I like Bob Melvin, but he literally left the situation that Mike Schilt turned into winning, what, NL Manager of the Year and bringing them to the playoffs, surprisingly. Like, he did what Bob Melvin couldn't in San Diego. Which
that is
one
true.
One of the reasons why I'm looking just at the division in a vacuum, and I'm like, well, if Bob Melvin can't get it done, then why could he get it done in San Francisco?
I do think this might be Bob Melvin's last. Of me saying, this guy is an insane manager. If they are what they are on paper, and Bob Melvin is not the 5.6 WAR manager that he should be, I might be out on Bob Melvin.
Well, and Bob Melvin has been known for
a little bit of a red ass.
Yes, but also just on the side of making a team play better than their makeup.
That's
like,
what I mean.
Taking a roster that on paper is like, they might not be that great.
If the Giants finish ahead of Arizona, that's Bob Melvin.
Yeah. Again, Arizona, they're going to be the most interesting team out of this bunch, because you are 2 years removed from a World Series appearance. And not a drastically different team, but again, enough to be like, raise some eyebrows, as you mentioned, on the starting pitching, losing one of your stalwarts on the starting lineup. I'm intrigued to see what happens with the Diamondbacks this year, and if they're able to. But there's a reason they went after Corbin Burnes. They feel like they are right there.
They do.
They're kind of like the team that they faced in that World Series 2 years ago, the Texas Rangers, where it's like, we didn't have our best year, but we feel like we can be right back in it as long as we make some good transactions in the offseason, which they did. To me, they are the biggest wild card in this bunch. But I would say, yeah, I'll take the Padres making the playoffs. And then, hell, the Diamondbacks, they are in a good position to take another one of those.
What has to happen for the Dodgers not to win this division?
Well, I would say that starting pitching would have to fall apart, but it seems like starting pitching somewhat falls apart for them in different points throughout the
year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like they have 15 starting pitchers injured.
Mookie Betts was
year.
Out for 2 months.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They'll just go. They get Tommy Edman and then re-sign him into another contract. So if Teoscar goes down, they'll go find another left fielder.
Freddie Freeman was bad in September and is the World Series MVP.
They would have to have Braves-esque injury luck or lack thereof.
Acuna style.
Where
Albies.
Dudes, it's just like, oh my God, they just cannot catch a break. It's like multiple batters, and then the guys that are still there that aren't injured don't have a good season. That's what it would take. But again, it seems like it's just like, oh, you're out, we're good. Oh, you're injured, we'll be fine for the next 60 days.
I think outside of the Dodgers, this division is going to be really fun to watch, and especially these teams against the Dodgers, because I think you get 19 times against them, or what is it now, 13 times against your division opponents.
Something like that, yeah.
Those are going to all be must-watch games, especially if it's Burnes, Yamamoto, or Webb, Glasnow. Like, those are going to be great games to watch in the middle of summer. All right, when we come back, we'll dive into the American League West, which I find actually might be the toughest division to figure out right now. So we'll get to that next. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Jordan Schultz behind the glass. 1080 The Fan. Coming up next, everybody's favorite, fair or foul. We'll dive into that. But let's just get right into this, guys. The American League West. I find this division absolutely fascinating. mostly because, and normally this isn't like a central conversation where sometimes we look at the central and we say, well, somebody's got to win it. Who's it going to be? I kind of feel that way, but in a good way, in a positive way. Somebody's got to win this division. And I'll tell you, there is nobody that I feel very strongly about. Absolutely nobody. Even in the National League Central, I could feel strongly about the Cubs. I could feel strongly about the Brewers. The American League Central, I mean, hell, I could tell you Cleveland, Minnesota, Kansas City, Detroit, I can make an argument for all of them. This division is very up in the air. I think Houston is going to come have a really big wake-up call. Houston's gone. All right? That dynasty, if they start something else in Houston, it's a new thing. It's a Yordan Alvarez. It's a Jeremy Pena. It's a Christian Walker. There's no Bregman. There's no Springer. There's no Correa. There's no Cole. There's no Verlander. It's Framber Valdez, Yordan Alvarez, and Jeremy Pena, I guess. I don't love this Houston team. I really don't.
Well, all those players you named that they do not have anymore, like, I hear what you're saying. Like, that was a great team that led to a lot of success. It is the year 2025, though, and those names and their output does not hold as much weight as it used to. So maybe, and I am already going to go out and say that the Astros win this division again, because it's one of those...
You're kind of like waiting to prove me wrong sort of thing?
Yeah, it almost happened last year where they started off very slow.
But what is it that you like about them right now? There's no Kyle Tucker.
No, I get it. I just feel that their team, they do a really good job at getting the most out of their pitchers and their starting pitchers. And while it was a slow start for them last year on the starting pitching side, they ended up turning it around. I mean, they were able to get... Blanco to throw a no-hitter. And then
also got suspended.
I was going to say, and then he got suspended. But, I mean, they still have Framber Valdez. Josh Hader, say what you will about him, still one of the better end-of-game closers in the league.
Agreed.
Spencer Spaghetti. I like me some Hunter Brown as well, who turned his season around drastically last year at one point. It just seems that they have some sort of magic garbage can potion down there that they're just able to win. And it doesn't really matter the circumstances, and it's just a next guy up mentality. And I hear you. This offseason has been one of the more head-scratching for this team, but you have one of the best middle infields in baseball still, as long as you got the lovable baseball elf at second base.
And I think he's going to play left.
Really?
Is what it sounds like. Isak is going to play third.
Paredes at third. And
the kid, Mauricio Dubon, is going to play second.
Yeah, Fangraphs is having... it's funny, they have Altuve. Like, they have, like, the percentages of where they're going to play in the field, and they have Jose Altuve at second and left field.
It's weird. Well, because Dubon plays the outfield, too. I don't really know why they're doing what they're doing there.
So. Cam McCormick, not a great hitter, but a great outfielder. Will they be as successful as years past? No. Do I think
they're not a World Series team. No.
Do they still have a really good chance to win this division? Yes. And I think this is going to be a Texas battle, between them and Texas, Rangers in this division this year.
Yeah. Do I hate the Astros? Yes. But I will admit that Yordan Alvarez, Jose Altuve, and Jeremy Pena still put the fear of God in me. And
Christian Walker.
Yeah, you
nice
add
addition.
Christian Walker to that too, somebody that the Mariners really needed and who is now going to be hitting against them. So it's just the fact of, hey, the Astros, maybe without Bregman and Kyle Tucker, don't look as loaded, but they're still loaded. And it's not just you guys that can't figure this division out. Fangraphs, Baseball Prospectus, they both have the Astros, Rangers, and Mariners all sitting around anywhere from like 84 to 86 wins. It's all up in the air.
Yeah, it's but again, I anticipate Texas to be better than they were last year.
Hope you have a healthy Corey Seager all year. Wyatt Langford should take a step. For me, when it comes to Texas, paging Evan Carter. Evan Carter.
Oh, yeah.
If Evan Carter shows up, this team is very scary.
Well, he was next up, and then last year did not come to fruition for him as expected.
He looked so good on that World Series run.
Garcia also had a terrible, probably his worst year that I've seen.
They got Jock Peterson in the offseason, too. I don't know how good.
Clubhouse guy?
Yeah.
Gym wrecked? First in, last out.
Not sure how successful he's going to be as a player on the field, but he'll be a good vibe guy, yeah.
Does Jake Berger do anything for you?
He's not bad, but he was on the Miami Marlins, so all his stats really don't count.
Anybody watch Jake Berger last
year? I love this Texas lineup, but Texas is the complete opposite of Seattle. I love this Texas lineup. Hate their starting rotation.
Yeah. I mean, you got old Manny Eovaldi still out there that you hope can give you what you got from him 2 years ago. DeGrom, you blow on him and he's going to have another elbow injury. Dear God, Gray, who it's like...
It's a little island misfit toysy.
Yeah. Trevor Mail, Rocker. Is that the kid from...
Yeah.
Was it Purdue or Wake Forest?
A young black kid.
Yeah. Kumar Rocker. Oh, my God.
Dude, someone in my keeper league kept him.
I mean, dude, God, I can't remember.
He throws fire.
If it was Purdue or Wake Forest or what school he came from. But, yeah, he's absolute flamethrower. For the love of God. I need to Google this real quick. It's killing me. Because when he was in the College World Series, it was a team that wore the same colors, Vanderbilt.
Close enough.
Absolute stud when he was at the College World Series.
Better baseball school.
Yes, exactly. The two that I named are not nearly as good at as baseball as Vanderbilt is. But it is, like you said, island of misfit toys. That is a good comparison because it's a lot of like, boy, we'll see what we can get out of them. I would say the most optimism you have out of any player on there is probably Kumar Rocker. At least he's young and you know that he has absolute gas, whereas those other four, you're like... just make it the whole season.
DeGrom's look good in preseason. The team that I bring to you.
Thank you, Texline. Yeah, Vanderbilt.
The team that I bring to you is the Athletics. Not the Oakland A's, not the Las Vegas A's, not the Sacramento A's.
Simply
The Athletics. I like this team a lot.
Listen,
this team a lot. They were one of the hottest teams in baseball in August and September. I really, really feel good about this team. Are they going to win the division? I don't know. Are they going to make the play? I don't know. This is my team that you do not want to play this year.
Well,
I truly believe that. And it has nothing to do with Sacramento. It has nothing to do with anything like that. I love what they are building here. I think this is a good baseball team.
I just want to go back on our text conversation from earlier today. Like, all right, what are we going to talk about? And you had mentioned like, oh, we're talking about the West divisions, new Portland renderings, A's extensions. And I just respond, I'm like, I might be missing something. And you say Butler just got an extension. Yeah. Him and Rooker are locked up with Severino. This team is building something.
They got the best closer in baseball and Mason Miller.
It was more topical than just glancing over. And I just didn't respond because I didn't want to hurt your feelings in the moment. But you know, good for them, I guess. But no, I'm not buying, like...
Lawrence Butler,
no.
Brent Rooker, J.J. Bleda, Shea Langeliers. I love this core. I love, love, love this core. I do.
Good little baseball players. They're very similar to their cousin across the bay, where it's like, you got
Lawrence
some
Lawrence Butler batted like 360 in August. If he can do that again, Brent Rooker is... trying to become a top 50 player in baseball. This team is good.
He looks like the next Jazz.
And Kotze is one of the new up-and-coming former players that's now a manager that's really good at his job.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if they had, like, an amazing season this year? Like, 90-plus
they
wins.
Went to the World Series in game one. Is it Sacramento?
well, just like, again, amazing season. Yeah, World Series. Yeah, playing in the Sacramento Bees Stadium. And then as soon as they
drive down there,
as soon as they get to Vegas,
be the hottest ticket in baseball.
As soon as they get to the Vegas, just terrible. Like 50 wins, just an absolute.
They win a World Series in Sacramento and then go full Marlins and sell everybody.
And Las Vegas is like, dude, yes, this is going to be awesome.
I think you guys are just shocked that they actually spent some money last season.
Again, you texting like, dude, them going after Luis Severino. I'm like, really?
I'm just saying.
I mean, they're good, but like after the top two guys, like what is it, Sears and Severino in the rotation, essentially you've got no experience. So yeah, the bullpen looks decent, but I do have some questions about the bottom of their starting pitching staff and the bottom of their lineup. Half of it looks good, okay? Half of it does.
I got a sandwich bet right now to both of you.
Let's go.
This team finishes second in the division.
Okay. Oh, I'll take a Sando.
Yeah, I'll take a sandwich
done.
Too.
Yeah. Done.
Two sandwiches.
Done.
Second. Okay.
I want two sandwiches.
Well, then you're.
I want a sandwich from each of us.
I want a sandwich from each of
you. You're either getting two sandwiches or you're giving two. I like it.
All right. I'm down for that.
Let's be real quick. We haven't talked about our lovable Seattle Mariners. There's not much to. They're exactly the same.
Yeah.
Can we just, like, when you're posting the podcast for this, find the segment from last year and copy and paste it right here at this point.
They are projected to have, like, 84 wins this year, which is, what, one short of what they had last year? So,
yeah.
Win
total over-under for them in DraftKings is 84.5.
Schultzy, who you got winning this division?
You know what? I want to say my Mariners, but I just don't think it's going to happen. Personally, I think they're going to have a year where they kind of fall off, where the house of cards finally starts to fall apart a little bit. I hate to say it, but I know you guys aren't really as high on them. I'm going Houston. I think that Houston's going to take it.
Oh, I'm high on Houston. I'm smoking that Houston pack.
You take Houston?
Yeah.
I would hate it.
Who you got taking second in this
division?
I'm
sipping on that Houston lean.
I mean, if the Mariners fall off, then it's going to be the Rangers. Like, yeah, the Angels made some moves. The A's are spending money, but the Rangers are just better than both of those
teams. So you guys both like Astros, Rangers at 2. Yeah. Mariners 3, A's 4, Angels 5.
I mean, I'd find it pretty funny if it was A's third and Mariners fourth.
I actually could see the A's making third place. I really could.
All right. Buckle up. You guys ready?
Yes. Yeah.
I will take the Angels to finish last in this division.
Shocked. Okay.
In fourth, I will take the Houston Astros.
Really?
In third, I will take the Texas Rangers.
Oh, my God.
Winning this division, give me the Seattle Mariners. I'll take the A's, take second, and make the playoffs.
Is that salad you're eating have marijuana leaves in that also? Is that a sort of THC
I think he's
salad?
He's got some
I think it's a ketamine salad.
THC dressing
I think
on
it's
there,
a
perhaps?
Ketamine with a little bit of hippie flip in there.
You are disassociating yourself right now.
I can't say no to the best staff in baseball. I just can't.
And you just can't. You've got some Garve sauce dressing on your salad there. So you believe that Mitch Garver, who's been hitting 450 in spring training, is going to have an odd year Mitch season?
No, I believe Rosarena will have a solid year. I believe Julio will be a top 10 player in baseball. And I believe J.P. Crawford will be healthy. And the bottom of that lineup will have problems. But I do believe all five of these starters are in the top 25 Vegas odds for Cy Young, either league. This starting rotation is unbelievable.
And if
Brian Wu, or if somehow you can get Castillo off the books, or if you sell Bryce Miller to get somebody at the deadline for a team that's not very good.
Castillo for Jazz Chisholm.
Done.
I would do that
in a heartbeat. Done. I don't like Jazz Chisholm.
Neither
but
do
it's
I.
Something.
It's something better than they have.
I can't say no to the best rotation I've ever seen outside of the Braves in the 90s. I just can't say no to that.
Even with the Kirby injury?
I just can't say no. It's not. It sounds like it's not an injury.
No, it's not.
It sounds like my shoulder is tired, that I've ramped up and there's no structural damage. This isn't Garrett Cole. This isn't Spencer Strider and Shane Bieber. This is just, yo, my shoulder feels off. The velocity hasn't gone down. His location didn't go down. His shoulder just doesn't feel right. So let's chill for a moment. Even you lose Kirby, you're still the best rotation in baseball.
Actually, to that point, Emerson Hancock, I know we're doing a deep dive, but he supposedly has added 3 miles per hour to his fastball, so it's now touching 96, and added a sweeper
right
to his, to his arsenal.
I'm going
to
take the Mariners, and I'm going to take the A's, too.
I think it would be just hilarious after all this, as I said like a month ago, if the Mariners have the number one offense and then the number 30 pitching staff this year. Like, just complete flip-flop.
I welcome it.
From last year.
Gilbert just
like,
gets lit every time he goes out
are
there.
Are you kidding me? Like, we can't just have, like, a top 10 in both, even a top 15 in both. It's just you have one really good unit, and the other side of it is just garbage. Just
all right,
terrible.
When we come back, it's everybody's favorite, fair or foul, but we'll toss it to Schultzy for sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
This is everybody's favorite fair or foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the end o'clock hour. Without further ado, we're already behind it, so let's toss it over to Schultzy.
Appreciate you guys. All right, I got three questions for you tonight. Let's start off in free agency. Yes, there are still a gaggle of players that are available. To quote from a Mariners president.
I hadn't even thought about this. Who's still left?
Yeah, exactly, right?
The spring training holdouts.
To quote former Mariners president Kevin Mather, they wait for guys to come with hat in hand, hoping to sign with a team for a job. You've got guys like Spencer Turnbull, Patrick Corbin still on the starting pitching market.
Oh, my God. Patrick Corbin should
He can stay on the free agency market.
Sounds like a wonderful human being, but, bro, you got your money. Let's not tempt the devil here.
That's a good point. Old man J.D. Martinez still out there.
Yeah, that's a good one.
David Peralta getting older, but he was employed last season. You got... Let's see, anybody else notable on the list? Yeah, Almenys Diaz. The biggest names I think that I recognize are Anthony Rizzo and Alex Verdugo, which I'm kind of surprised.
Surprising on Verdugo.
Yeah, that either of them, I know Rizzo's getting older, but Verdugo still isn't even like much past 30.
I'm also a little surprised on that J.D. Martinez.
Exactly.
That's a classic DH. He actually was pretty good for the Mets down the stretch last year.
Old man Juan Dulio.
Probably cheap.
Juan Dulio. Fan of the show, Juan Dulio.
So, guys, fair or foul, my question actually involves J.D. Martinez and Alex Verdugo. Alex Verdugo or J.D. Martinez? I don't know which one of them's going to sign first. So I'll just say fair or foul, J.D. Martinez will sign before Alex Verdugo.
I have to think so. I think there's something weird about Verdugo in the sense that his defense in left is... He seems a little bit of a hothead.
But he did have a good year fielding last year.
Yeah, and he was better. His best year has probably been the Yankees last year, honestly. I think people worry about the money he's going to want and can he repeat what he's going to do. I would love to bring in Juan Dulio right now. Honestly, talking about your Mariners,
yeah,
love to sign J.D. Martinez. My Indians,
hell yeah,
love to sign J.D. Martinez. Any team that has a spot that's not, you know, captivated by D. Look at the Yankees. If Giancarlo's going to be out for a little bit,
bring him in.
J.D. Martinez, I think you could do a lot worse as an everyday DH than Juan Dulio. And if you had to put him out and left, he's not the worst. Yes, he's older. But let's not forget, I think J.D. Martinez gets a really bad rap because he signed that huge deal in Boston and he actually performed, but that team was just bad. And he's almost like being punished by the rest of the league. I'll say fair. I'll take Juan Dulio over Alex Verdugo signing first.
I will go fair as well.
I mean, Verdugo's the better player. Right now, Verdugo's the better player.
Yeah, I could see like JD Martinez being signed after the season starts, where a team's like, dude, we cannot slug worth a crap.
Garver sucks.
I feel like the Mets didn't pick him up till the spring last season.
Yeah, he was a late sign last year too.
Yeah, I'm gonna go fair that JD Martinez gets signed first. Gosh, but when I say it out loud, for the sake of time, I will say fair. I feel like that he can provide a little bit more value, and I think there's going to be a team, that early on is just like, dude, we can't generate any offense, and we need something here. Whereas Verdugo, again, he's going to help you in the field, but at bat, he had his worst batting average hitting season, OBP, OPS season of his career last year besides his rookie season.
Yeah.
So I think that's where teams are kind of waffling on him right now. It's like, he might be able to help in left field, but
also JD is that veteran presence. It's like signing a Carlos Santana, a Nelson Cruz at the end of his days. Like, let's just get a guy in here who's a professional, who's going to do the thing. I actually am talking myself into this. I love JD in Seattle, and I love JD in New York. For the Yankees, if Giancarlo's going to be out, bring him in. Bring him in.
No, I like it. All right, guys, fair or foul.
Break him in.
Hey.
Break him in.
Get out.
Yeah, the Mariners won't do anything of the sort. All right, guys, we saw Portland Diamond Project releasing some renderings again. These are probably, the fifth or sixth renderings that we've seen of a baseball stadium here. This time on the Willamette River in Portland, Oregon, down in the southwest waterfront, the Zidell Yards property that's being proposed.
Poop-filled Willamette?
The poop-filled Willamette.
Where the sturgeon are thriving.
Daryl the sturgeon?
Yeah, Daryl. Daryl and what was his real name?
Herman.
Herman, thank you. Yeah, Daryl and his brother Herman. But, of course, it's beautiful. Makes you excited for the prospect of baseball here, guys. But I've seen a lot of these renderings. So fair or foul, these renderings make you truly believe that baseball will happen in Portland. Fair or foul?
I'm going to say foul. It wasn't so much the renderings. It was the statement of them saying, we can break ground in 2027. Yeah. When you hear that out,
so huge.
When you say that out loud and like read it, you're like, oh gosh, that's forever away. That's only 2 years away. Like that to me, them saying
stadiums take about a year two to make.
Them saying like putting a date on it, like, oh, we can have this bitch built and get or starting to get built in 2 years. That's where I was like, bro, sign me up. Like, let's get this going. MLB approve expansion, give us a team. We could literally have an MLB stadium built by the end of
this decade.
I mean, like, are you serious? That was the part that got me excited, because you mentioned we'd seen renderings before. That is the line that got me like really thinking like, oh my god, are we gonna do this?
Yeah, I'm with Joe on this. I don't think it's the renderings. I mean, as sexy as I think those are, and those get kind of the people talking, like I listen to MLB Network on the radio or at home on TV all the time, especially at this time of year. And the season hasn't started, so you think we reach for topics? Those guys reach for topics. And this gets them talking. Like, it's easy for us to talk locally about it, but to get the national guys talking, it really says something. And I think this is the route that whoever is running this ship of the new Portland team, who we still don't know and won't know for probably years to come, this is how you stay in front of it. Because honestly, if I look at it non-biasedly, Salt Lake City is the better city. It's the better spot. So to be better than them, you have to be ahead of them. And that's where I back Joe on this. I say foul because of the renderings being in the question, but fair to your overall statement. This could push Portland into first because we're the most ready. I don't see Nashville doing this. I don't see Charlotte doing this. I don't see Montreal doing this. We're doing this.
Yeah, it's a good point you make. The renderings kind of make the noise on social media.
Yeah.
And along with that representation of something tangible for people to see.
Someone posts on Reddit in the baseball subreddit that's like, check these out. And people are like, man, I live in Cincinnati. That looks dope.
And along with that, the message of ready by 2027. Yes, please.
Let's go.
No, I'm with you guys. Okay, final fair or foul. Got to throw in one about my Seattle Mariners, of course. Mitch Garver has been hitting his booty off this spring training. Been a point of contention because he is one of the highest paid Seattle Mariners, $13 million contract at some point. Hopefully going to going to be more than a backup catcher, but that's what the Mariners were basically counting on him to be.
Well, they got to pay somebody.
Yeah, you know, because he is so bad at the plate. But in spring training so far, 8 for 18, 3 home runs, 6 ribbies, .444 batting average, and a 1.420 OPS. Odd year Mitch Garver. I don't know if you know this, guys, but in 2023, he hit .270 with 19 homers.
Won a World Series.
Exactly. 2021, .256 with 13 homers. 2019, 31 homers with 67 RBIs and a .273 average. So fair or foul, guys, Mitch Garver will continue his hitting into the regular season and be odd season Mitch Garver for the Seattle Mariners.
You know, we were talking about this earlier. I think he's going to be absolutely phenomenal as a DH for the Seattle Mariners. I think bringing in and having that veteran leadership, JD Martinez for sure will hit 30 home runs for Seattle. Fair. I'm joking. Foul. Mitch Garver,
you're great.
I think you're done, bud. I think you're done. I think it's cool. You got yourself a ring. You got yourself some dollars. Spring training is different than T-Mobile Park. And that is a place for big boys. And I don't know if Mitch Garver's a big boy. I say foul.
I'm going to apply my Houston Astros logic to this. I'll believe it when I see it. I'm going to say foul as well. And if Mitch Garver goes on to having a great season this year, then good for Mitch. Good for your Mariners, because they're going to need all of it.
Yep.
I think your last question or last week's fair foul was Mitch Garver will be critical to the success of the Mariners or something along those lines.
And if Mitch Garver is critical to your success, pack it up.
Well, that was my hot take on one of my latest podcast episodes, was that if Mitch and Mitch hit, they will win the AL West. But that's the sad point that
can
we're at.
Imagine? Wait, they still have Mitch Haniger?
Yes.
Yes, Mitch and Mitch. God.
Another very bloated 15-plus million-dollar contract. Yes, contracts are
Mitch and Mitch,
terrible.
Personal injury attorneys. I'll fight for you.
They'll take a bite out of the crime
Don't
sandwich.
Call Dad.
Call Mitch and Mitch. Hey, watch it.
That is fair or foul. We do it every single week at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. We come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. The Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. You know, Joe was just trying to be sweet. We were talking in the break, and then he brought up like the travesty that was my day-to-day. Liverpool lost in a shootout to Paris Saint-Germain.
Ooh.
In the Champions League. We are out. Mo Salah cried. He went to a shootout. Very brutal game. We could have easily won that game 7-1. Instead, we lost 1-0. Aggregate 1-1, and then a shootout. Liverpool is out. Joe, take it away.
Yes, to keep this on the baseball track for the last 2 to 3 minutes of this show, I wanted to read you some comments from some residents about MLB expansion and a city getting a new baseball team, an MLB team.
Wonderful.
I wanted to share you with some comments of people that about their city and getting the MLB team.
That's my quarterback.
This is one.
That's my teammate.
This doesn't fix the drug-infested, gang-infested homeless hangout. And they think spending tax money with the stadium is going to fix it. You saw the story last week of a security guard being attacked while getting in his car. That's the neighborhood. I don't want this happening.
Sign Jimmy in Chicago.
Major League sports are antiquated and a complete waste of resources and money. I love baseball, but this city will never support an MLB team. You know where these comments are coming from?
Huh.
These are coming from the website KUTV.com in Salt Lake City.
Oh,
so if you thought
so, you polygamy losers got some issues, huh?
So if you thought the discourse sometimes around people in Portland is rough about MLB to Portland and everything, and were those comments? Did you not for a quick second think like, oh gosh, here's some more people in Portland that don't want an MLB team? No, these are Salt Lake City. Who knew that Salt Lake had drug infested, gang infested, homeless hangouts as well?
Was salty.
Yeah.
Drinking that water.
Yeah, you know what? It still makes me upset to see Dale Murphy stab us in the back like he did.
I know. What a jerk.
Leaving the Portland Diamond Project to go to what do they call theirs?
Yeah, that is pretty crappy.
I forget what the Utah's collective or whatever the hell it's called that they're trying to put together.
Three Wives.
Damn it. No, they've got like a
boom.
We three wives of Salt Lake City.
Speaking of the Mormon religion and polygamy and whatnot, have you watched the show American Primeval on Netflix?
Primeval?
Primeval?
I don't know.
Great show.
It's spelled Primeval.
No, it's spelled Primeval.
No, it's spelled Primeval.
Yeah, it's E-V-A-L.
Yeah, it's Primeval. If you go look at the title.
No, I'm watching Severance.
Severance.
You like that?
Yeah.
You watch Silo yet?
No.
Get to Silo. It's good. Tim Robbins.
Lotus. And we started White Lotus.
Okay,
White Lotus.
So White Lotus, I'm starting to, like, my girlfriend just has it on.
Seen the first two seasons?
No.
Oh. It's like uncomfortably awesome.
It is. My girlfriend watches it, though, and she's on season three right now. She's watching the most recent episodes. And I've caught the last couple episodes, and I'm like, I don't know why this show is intriguing, because it kind of seems a little boring, but there's something about it. I don't know if it's just the setting in, Thailand, I think they're in.
I think they're
this
in
season. Somewhere. I don't know. But I just don't know what
they're
it is.
They're in Thailand, actually.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about this show, but there's just something that's like, it's gravitating, and it pulls me in, and I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it.
Well, they always have great casts.
I love Walton Goggins. I was going to say, like, that's, you know.
I love Parker Posey.
Who's Parker Posey?
She's the like Texas mom in it.
Oh yeah, okay.
She's in Best in Show, Dazed and Confused.
Patrick's awesome. What is it? Arnold Schwarzenegger's son,
mm-hmm. Yes,
Patrick, is in this.
He's been solid in what I've seen so far. Also, who plays Malfoy's dad? What's his name?
Oh God. Yeah, he's faking an American accent.
Yeah,
for this
classic
one.
Bad guy.
Damn it.
He is excellent.
I know his name, and it's just on the tip of my tongue.
I know. I always want to say Jeremy Irons, but it's not Jeremy Irons.
Lucius Malfoy.
But it does make me want to go back.
Jason Isaacs.
Thank you.
Makes me want to go back and watch the first couple of seasons, because I saw the cast in the first
I mean, the first season is really good. Steve Zahn is awesome in it. And the second season, Aubrey Plaza. Wow. Wow.
Dude,
And Jennifer Coolidge is really good in season one and two.
And you get Uncle Rico.
Yeah, like Jennifer Coolidge, like she is Jennifer Coolidge. She is like that stupid character you see on Discover commercials. She is great in those. Her character is written perfectly.
Yeah. John Grease, the guy that played Uncle Rico, is her husband in the second season.
Theo James, I don't know what season he's in. He's a British actor, and he was in the Gentleman Netflix series.
Okay.
Good actor. I liked him in The Gentleman, but apparently he's in White Lotus also. So again, it might rope me in.
You should watch season one, White Lotus. It's in Hawaii. The hotel concierge dude is awesome. Great stuff. All right, that'll do it for us. When we come back next week, we'll let you know where we feel about just the league as a whole. The Tokyo series will have started, or will be about to start, and we'll give you our picks, MVPs, Cy Youngs,
dude,
and we'll deep dive the Mariners.
We're right there.
We're right there, baby.
Like, we are basically 2 weeks away.
It's baseball, baby. We'll do that for Joe Fisher, Jordan Schultz on the ones and twos. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something. I would do.